I'm not too happy about writing this letter because I wrote you one and it came back to me because you left no forwarding address. Freeman was still serving in the USAF. I don't know about a guy that won't leave a forwarding address. Of all things, I say. And another thing, I'm getting to be such a big shot that I don't know if I should write you at all. But before I go any further, I want to kind of chew you out a little. As soon as my record was off the press, I rushed down and got you a copy of it and mailed it to you. Well, you didn't say one dad-blamed word about it except that you got it and it was warped. Now, if you had said the things that Carnahan said, I don't give a rat's rear end whether you say a thing about it or not. He seemed to think the music is too shallow and I have no business being on that label. But since Cry, Cry, Cry has been on top in Memphis and vicinity for the first 2 weeks, I don't give another rat's rear end. Guess who your friend John is going to be playing with next Friday night? Just Webb Pierce, Sonny James, Bud Deckelman, and about 15 more. Yep, next Friday night at the Overton Park Shell here in Memphis will be the biggest thrill in my life. And they asked me to be on the show. I didn't ask them. Friend, I tell you, it just don't seem real. It seems like a big cherry pink and apple blossom white dream. Do you hear my record out there? My brother just got back from Alabama and he says they're wearing it out all over Alabama and Mississippi. I've had a lot of good reports on it from Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Virginia. Viv and I went to Texas last week and it's getting a good start down there. I've got several bookings already 3 weeks after next in towns around here. Then the week after next, my potential manager says he can book me solid 5 or 6 nights a week from then on through the winter. I believe I can make a pretty good living at it. This guy says he'll guarantee me I'll never make less than $20 a night, and lots of nights I'll make $30 or more when we play the bigger towns. There'll be myself and another boy on Sun and Bud Deckelman on MGM on the tour. This time he signed himself Johnny Cash and added underneath, "The most promising young artist Memphis, Tennessee has ever produced." The towns around here that he was playing were places like Etowah, Lepanto, Osceola, and Helena in Arkansas, or Henderson in Tennessee. In search of bookings, Cash would drive around approaching theaters, cinemas, and schools, as well as clubs with names like Junior's Dewdrop Inn and Pearl's Howdy Club, telling anyone who would listen that he was Johnny Cash and that he had a hit on the Sun Records label. The boys would travel to the venues after work with Marshall's bass strapped to the roof of the car. At the shows, they'd play both sides of the new single, some gospel songs, a couple of current hits like Dean Martin's Memories Are Made of This, and some old favorites like Hank Snow's Moving On and Lead Belly's Rock Island Line. As their fame spread and the shows got bigger, they began to supplement their income by selling photographs of Cash for 25 cents during the intermission. The boy on Sun, whom Cash mentions in his letter to Freeman will tour with him, was Elvis Presley. Cash probably didn't refer to him by name simply because, although Elvis had become a sensation in Memphis, his name meant very little to those who revered the older singers like Ernest Tubb. In the year he'd been recording, only one of Elvis's 4 singles had made an impression on the national country charts, and his limited tour had only taken him to a dozen or so southern states. Though 3 releases and several months of touring behind Elvis, Cash had every reason to think of himself as someone with the same opportunities. Of all the artists appearing with him at the Overton Park Shell, Cash had the most esteem for headliner Webb Pierce, who'd been recording since the early 1950s. His hit songs, such as That Heart Belongs to Me and The Last Waltz, were among those that a young Cash had listened to while in Germany. Whereas Cash would become close friends with some fellow recording artists at Sun, most notably Roy Orbison and Carl Perkins, his relationship with Elvis was always one of rivalry. Never less than courteous to each other, they always each had an eye on the other's record sales and successes in concert. In his show, Elvis would frequently mimic Cash, and Cash in turn perfected an Elvis parody that involved hip swiveling, lip pouting, and a comb that needed to be shot after slicking back his greasy hair. The Overton Park Shell concert, which took place on August 5, 1955, proved to be a turning point for both Sun artists. For Elvis, it was a homecoming. He had only given 2 Memphis shows that year, in February and July. The last time he had played the Shell, he had taken bottom billing for a Slim Whitman show. For Johnny Cash and the Tennessee 2, it was a debut. Not only had they never played a concert in Memphis before, they'd never shared a bill with a major artist. Now they were part of a Bob Neal promotion featuring 22 acts, that would draw more than 4,000 fans. No wonder it seemed like a big cherry pink and apple blossom white dream. Cash, Marshall, and Luther played both sides of the single that night and were called back for more. As an encore, they premiered Folsom Prison Blues, the song they'd recently recorded. All Cash's friends and family came to witness his triumph. The next day, the only two photos of the show included in the Memphis Press Scimitar beneath the headline, 4,000 Jam Shell, Hundreds Turned Away, Country Rhythm Fills a Country Park, were of Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash. He'd only been stateside a year and 2 days, and already he was making his dream come true. Yet this concert, which he frequently regarded as marking the birth of his career, also marked the beginning of Cash's marital troubles. Vivian looked uneasily over the sea of girls screaming for Elvis. This scene, she realized, could one day greet her husband, and that wouldn't bode well for a happy home. Where Cash saw only fame, success, and financial stability, Vivian envisioned temptation, loss of privacy, and loneliness. Vivian held the very traditional idea of marriage in which the husband worked and a wife cooked, cleaned, and reared children. When he first spoke to her about a career in music, she never anticipated the screaming women or weeks of separation that went along with a tour. In September, Cash wrote Ted Freeman of the latest touring activity, guest spots on Barnyard Frolics at Little Rock, the Big D Jamboree in Dallas, a concert in San Antonio with Eddie Arnold, and then a trip through West Texas with Elvis, Gene Shepherd, and the Louvin Brothers. It would be, he said, a heap of picking and grinning. The West Texas tour of places like Abilene, Midland, Amarillo, and Lubbock would pay the group $100 a night between them, which, as he pointed out, didn't leave much after deducting travel and accommodation expenses. They only agreed to the rate because they'd been promised a return engagement within 6 months for $250 a night. Cash wrote about the tour. "It'll take a while for me to get the good money, but if my next record does as well as Cry, 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 I've got it made. We cut one side of my next record Monday night. It's by far the best song I ever wrote. Has a nice tune to it, and sounds a lot more professional than the first one. The name is I Get So Doggone Lonesome." Emboldened by the success of Cry, 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 Cash mocked the conventions of mid-1950s country music, seeing his sound as something new and radical. It, I Get So Doggone Lonesome, probably won't sell over 3 or 4 copies because I don't have a steel guitar in the band. Heck, people don't want anything different. They want the same old stuff. If you ain't got a steel guitar, you're hurting for certain. That steel guitar is it. Try to sound like Jerry Bird. Shoot, those teenage girls don't care about catchy rhythm. They want to hear a pretty steel guitar, because everybody has a steel guitar. Guess I'm just wasting my time. My music is so shallow and simple. Country people don't like it. Although Webb Pierce told me my style was versatile and that I'd go far in country music because I have the honest country flavor that everyone likes, I might as well quit. What does Webb Pierce know about country music? Heck. Ted Freeman must have failed to detect Johnny's ironic tone. He wrote to Cash and asked him if he was anticipating such failure, why didn't he just add a steel guitar to his sound? Cash responded in his next letter. "You just ain't got no sense. You're just nuts. I used to think you had some sense, but now you ain't got no sense. You're just nuts. I didn't put a steel guitar in the band because everybody has a steel guitar in their band. My little old record still tops in this part of the country." So as the little boy in Mad Comic says, a reference to cartoon character Alfred E. Newman, "What? Me worry? Don't listen to the music on the record. Listen to the rhythm." A week before setting off on the West Texas tour, he again wrote to Ted Freeman, who had obviously asked him why Cry, Cry, Cry was not yet a national hit. Cash listed the cities where it had been a hit. Number one in Memphis, Little Rock, Shreveport, Texarkana, Richmond, and Jackson. Number two in Miami, number three in Cincinnati, number four in Florence and Baton Rouge, and so on down to number nine in New Orleans. "Now you're asking me why it didn't make the top 10 charts coast to coast? Reason number one, new artist. Reason number two, small label. Reason number three, no financial backing. Reason number four, which could be number one. It's only hot in a few places at once because the disc jockeys in some areas didn't start to play it until they noticed it was a hit elsewhere.